Who's excited to be at conference? Oh, yeah, I'm excited to be here. Let me just grab a few things. Wow. You guys believe it's March 2nd, conference day, already. And in just a few short hours, we'll be headed home, reminiscing and remembering all the amazing things that God does in this space, right? We're not there yet. We're going to soak it all in. All right, good. I'm glad that's your mindset. All right, would you guys pray with me? Bow your heads, close your eyes, lean in a little bit. Father God, we thank you so much for what you're going to accomplish in this space all day long. From the times of worship and the messages to our intentional games and community building. Father, we just thank you for this space. We thank you for each and every student that you've pulled into this place and that you're going to move today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. All right. I'm excited. I'm excited because there is a plan for your life. If you were with us on Wednesday, we talked about God having a plan for you, and we're going to do a kind of a part two on that today. But don't worry, if you weren't there on Wednesday, it's still going to make sense, okay? You feel good about it?
Yeah.
All right. So there's a plan for you. There's a purpose for you. And there's a future for you. Those are the three topics that we're going to be talking about today. I'm talking about plan for your life. Mr. John O'Gates, who just stepped in the back of the room. Everyone, give it up for Mr. John O'Gates. He's going to be talking about purpose that God has for your life. And then we'll have Pastor Gabby with us later this evening to talk about what it means to have a future. And I can personally say I put together PowerPoints for Pastor John and Pastor Gabby, and wow, they're going to bring a word, so it's good. I'm intimidated to share this platform with them, but I'm excited too. All right. Did you guys know that the plan that God has for you comes with a call? The plan that he has for you comes with a call, and with a call, you have the opportunity to respond. You can choose whether or not you want to respond to that call, whether or not you want to listen to his voice, whether or not you want to take it and run with it, whether or not you're going to just ride it out or kind of see what's going to happen here, what's going to happen there. You have the opportunity, not only tomorrow, but today, to choose whether or not you're going to press into the call of God on your life. And that's what's exciting. Every day has purpose. Every day has meaning. Jess and I, we got to share a small group with the 10th grade girls on Wednesday. Where are you at?
Hi.
Where are you at? Where's the rest? You got to scream and yell. Where are you at? 10th grade girls, we're glad that you were there in the small group, okay? A couple of you said something that rings true with a lot of students, rings true with a lot of adults too, and that is we just wake up, and then we just do the day, and then we just go to sleep, and then we do it again tomorrow. Well, that's terrible. Doesn't that sound so boring and pointless? And that's why I want to encourage you today, because there is an opportunity each and every day to respond to the call of God on your life. You have an opportunity to make the most of your circumstances, to make the most of what's in front of you, to make the most of each and every day. There is no pointless day. Tomorrow's not less valuable than today. Yesterday was not less valuable than conference day. Each day we have an opportunity to respond to the gospel. And it's a decision that we have to make. How are we going to follow after God? How are we going to follow after Jesus? Jesus is just the perfect example of what it means to walk out God's calling. He did that day one, all the way through. Do you think that Jesus woke up one day and went like, just guess we're going to go to school today and learn how to build a house and then go to sleep and we'll wake up and do it again tomorrow? No. Jesus walked out God's call perfectly for his life, and I believe that he walked in purpose every single day, that he had a specific idea of what each day would look like, and he would be so intentional with relationship with his Father. That's what we need to be. This side of the cross, we don't have to worry about the things that Jesus did when it came to having a relationship. We don't have to visit a temple. We don't have to go before any priest or anything like that. We actually can just be in relationship and community with God. And who's excited about that? Wow, you're excited. I love it. I love it. Better yet, we have a friend that wants to carry the load with us, and that friend is Jesus. If you read this, Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, last night, you know, I was definitely trying to figure out how to find a yoke so I could show you what it looks like, and I didn't, because they're hard to come by these days. But what a yoke was, is it was actually this harness that would go on two animals. They would share the weight of a load, whatever they're pulling. Maybe they're pulling a plow through a field to plant for the next year. Maybe they're pulling a trailer full of goods, a trailer full of their family, whatever it is, right? But you would have two animals, and they would be yoked together, tied together, so that they pulled the same, they had the same opportunity to pull, right? But the problem with that was, is then maybe you would have one animal that was weaker than the other. The stronger animal would have to pick up the weaker's load, and it wouldn't even notice. Like, you wouldn't notice as the person who was driving them forward. Does that make sense? Here's why that's important for us to understand today, because Jesus is inviting us and all of our problems into what he has. He's inviting to take the other side of the yoke and walk alongside of us, so that when we get through and we're just feeling weak, when we can't handle it, when we feel weary and burdened, he can provide the rest and keep pulling our life forward. And we won't have to pick up the extra weight of the stress, the anxiety, the depression, whatever you woke up with this morning or yesterday. You don't have to worry about it, because Jesus wants to yoke himself to you. He wants to join you in that and walk it out together. That means, like, this morning when I woke up, I told Jessica, I was like, "Whoa, I think I just slept the worst that I've ever slept in my entire life." You know, I was really nervous. All my friends were coming to conference today. And I woke up and I went, "Jesus, this is not fun. I don't feel like myself. I don't feel like I slept. This is not what I envisioned today to look like." But I was challenged even myself with this word. What does it look like to trust him with the problems, to trust him with the things, all the way down to the way our physical bodies are feeling? Maybe this morning you woke up, you have a headache, you have pain in your shoulders, your back, your legs. You're like, "I don't want to play in the basketball tournament now. I'm not feeling it." But Jesus is just inviting you to walk that out with him, wherever you're at. And that's not just today. That's every day, right? Jesus promises this easy yoke. He doesn't promise, however, an easy road. So an easy yoke, meaning that we can put all of our problems on Jesus, does not always mean that the road that we walk on is going to be easy. He's going to come alongside of us, give us the strength, the hope, the courage to keep pushing forward. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to encounter problems. And so when we talk about this, God has a plan for you. He's got a plan for your life, a purpose for your life. He has a future for your life. Then what happens when all of a sudden it's not going the way that we thought? What happens when we look at the world around us and we're just like, "I didn't sign up for this. I didn't sign up for my parents to get divorced, or for the problems that I'm having in my home getting along with my parents." Or maybe you have a good friend who just going through some stuff, a boyfriend, girlfriend making bad decisions, and you're like, "I just want to, like, pull them by their hair and be like, 'Why are you doing this to me?'" Our choices, good or bad, affect everyone around us, right? Too often we just look at the bad things and we go like, "Okay, if I make a bad decision, that's totally going to mess up someone, right? Like if I go and, like, steal from the gas station, Walmart, whatever, right? You think it's not going to affect anybody, but it does affect someone. But you don't think about the simple things. Like, I was just scrolling on my phone and just thought I would click through to the link that took me to the website that took me to pornography. It's just like, that's not going to affect anyone. It's just me. It's just me. I'm the only one looking at it. What's not? How's it going to affect anybody else? That's the thing that I want you students to be so aware of today. The plan God has for your life, you live into it every single day. And when you start to live into sin, when you start to live into the desires of your flesh, I was talking to God about it last night. I was like, I really enjoy scrolling on my Instagram. I really enjoy it. I don't know why. I don't have to think about anything else. I was talking to God about it. I was like, but how is that affecting anyone else? It's not a bad thing. And then I started hearing the words of my beautiful bride, Jessica, in my ear. And it was, Cole, you're always on your phone. Cole, do you even hear what Kaylee's saying? Did you hear what I said? Like, look at how the simplest of decisions that we make affect everyone around us. Psalm 23, verse 4 says this, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That song we sang right before the session here was Good Plans. And I love that song. It's written out of Psalm 23. God has good plans for your life, whether or not you're walking through the darkest valley. It doesn't feel like it when you get a cancer diagnosis. It doesn't feel like it when you find out that you tore ligaments in your knee, or you woke up and your parents are getting a divorce or not doing well. Even financially, life gets expensive, and then you start to hear conversations your parents are having around the dinner table, and you're like, whoa, like, I cost a lot of money. I don't mean to cost so much money. I just wanted to get the new pair of shoes or Christmas gifts or a birthday gift or whatever, right? The darkest valley looks different for each one of us, no matter what, right? Some translations of the Bible and even some commentaries say that the darkest valley would be a picture of what it looks like to be within death's shadow, where no light exists. I know that there's been times in my life, and probably times in your life, where you felt like you were in a darkest valley. You felt like you were in a place where there was no light. There was no Jesus. There was no God. And even when people would have conversations with you, you would kind of just like not even hear it. Sometimes we walk through the darkest valley. Sometimes we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But the good news for us today is that right alongside of us, no matter what it is that we're going through, Jesus is there. No matter what it is we're going through, I don't have to fear evil. I don't have to fear what the enemy might try to tempt me into or to challenge me with or throw at me. I told you on Wednesday, sometimes we step into situations and we've got the devil on our shoulder, and there's supposed to be an angel on this side, but it's actually just two devils, and they're throwing thoughts at us on both sides and saying, you're not worth it, you're not good enough, you can't do it. That's not true. And so even when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, even when we're walking through the darkest valley and those thoughts are coming at us and the enemy wants to do every bit of harm that he can to you, you don't have to fear the evil one. You don't have to fear evil circumstances. You don't have to fear, because God is right there with you. And you know, it says rod and staff. Do you know what a shepherd would do with a rod and staff? He would guide and discipline his sheep. And I think sometimes we step into uncomfortable, difficult situations. We're walking out the valley of the shadow of death. We slipped up. We made a mistake. We leaned into the world, into our flesh a little more than we should have. And when the shepherd comes alongside to guide us, we easily mistake these two things. We mistake consequences of our actions with spiritual warfare. Consequences of our actions, of our sin, with spiritual warfare. God is good, really, really good. And because he's good, he disciplines his children. Because he's good, he brings us into intentional relationship. And that means that at times, we're going to feel the guiding of his staff. We're going to feel the strike of his rod when he goes like, hey, I'm sorry, you're going to feel consequences because you stepped into this thing that you shouldn't have. If he wasn't good, he wouldn't do that. But because he's good, he leads us back towards the way of righteousness. He leads us back into his presence. But what I want to be so careful of in my own life, and I want you to be careful of too, is we'll quickly say that when we start to go through something hard, oh, it's just spiritual warfare. Like, the enemy's just out to get me. Like, how many of your decisions led you to that place that you're calling spiritual warfare when it was just your consequences? It's just your own decisions. Like, you brought yourself to this mess, and now you're saying that God has to clean it up for you. We want to lean on him. We want to trust him. We want to believe that he's going to walk right alongside us, and he will. But sometimes we need to just lay our lives down at his feet again. Sometimes we need to trust that he has our best in mind. But what about the flip side of that, that the things you can't control? You know, I was in college, and I got to a part of the semester coming up on the end, and I had done the payment plan, North Central University RAM plan. Yeah, you know it? Good. It makes no sense. Because you don't have to pay as much if you don't do a payment plan. And if you miss a payment, they charge you like twice of what the payment's supposed to be. I get to the end of the thing, and I had been in and out of jobs trying to make it work, trying to get to the thing. And I looked at my buddies, and I went, dude, I don't know if I'm going to be able to come back to school. I can't afford this. I can't even afford the final payment. And this was the frustrating part that I just alluded to. Like, because I couldn't afford the final payment, if I didn't pay it, they were about to charge me double. And I was like, how does that make any sense, guys? I just need some help. I don't need more payments. I couldn't afford it. I needed a job. I needed help. I needed something, right? It was not what I expected. I felt like God called me to that space. He called me to pursue the degree. He called me to be in school right there. And I couldn't control the fact that I had no money. Because my car broke down, and I needed new tires, and my battery was dead. He had good plans for me being there, right? But he led me into a situation where I had to rely on him fully. I had to say, like, God, I don't know how I'm going to afford this. I don't know how you're going to come through. And that's where he shows up in the greatest way, when you are just willing to lay it all down at his feet and go like, I can't do this without you, and I trust you, and I believe in you, and I know that you're going to come through for me. Because on the other side of that story, he made it happen. He provided for me in supernatural ways. He also challenged me to work hard and be intentional. He said, Cole, maybe the way that you're spending your time isn't the best way to spend your time. Maybe you got to hang out with the boys a little less. Maybe you need to buy coffee a little less. Maybe you need to work a few more hours and be intentional. But when we meet God halfway, he comes the other distance. When you show up for God, he shows up for you and provides in your life. Too often we are obsessed with looking at the people around us and thinking that they have it easy. We look at the more successful Christians, the one who are on a platform, who have a bigger Instagram following, who have written the books and stuff, and go like, wow, I wish I was a Christian like that. I wouldn't have to deal with all this stuff. You might even be sitting next to your neighbor and being like, I wish I had it figured out like they did. I wish I could worship like they did. I wish I could love Jesus like they did. Right now, would you turn to your neighbor and tell them that I have real problems? I have real problems. Our response to those problems determines the outcome of how God will use our life. We've all got stuff. We've all got things. We all need Jesus. But our response when we step into problems will determine how he can show up for us. 1 Corinthians 7:17 said this, and don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, I'm supposed to be here? You're right. You're supposed to be here. I'm glad you showed up today. I'm glad Jacob showed up today. Bro, you should come every Wednesday. What's going on? How you respond to your problems, how you respond to the world around you, how you respond to what's going on in your life determines the outcome. Would you give it a chance? Would you trust God? Would you put your life on the line and say, I have problems. I'm a real person. I want to know Jesus better because I want to in any problem that I face, whether it be physical, whether it be spiritual, whether it be just emotional. I trust God. All your students, you share this account all the time. What's it? Trust God, bro. Right? You see the quote, you go like, oh, that's really good. Trust God, bro. And then that Wednesday, you come to youth and you go like, there's just so much going on. I just don't know how to do it. Just like, what do I do? What do I do? What?
Can you say it louder? I can't hear you.
We just need to preach to ourselves sometimes. I hope you're sharing it on your IG because you need it for yourself. You need a little reminder. It's not just because you like all the people that like the message. You know that I'm one of them, right? Every time I see it, I'm like, that's good, that's good, that's good. Bro, do you trust God with your circumstances? Do you trust what he has for you? Joshua 1:9. It says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Whatever the plan on your life looks like, I don't know what it is. Dude, I don't know. God knows, right? You might not even know yet. You have no idea. Talk to those 10th grade girls. And I said, guys, what's purpose? What's calling? Like, what's yours? And they're just like, some of them kind of knew. Some of them were like, I don't know what you're talking about. Some of them were like, I'm not going to share with the group. I feel that. I feel where you're at, okay? There's a lot going on in our world around us. And when I say to you, like, what is God's plan for your life? What does that look like? You just go, I don't know. That's okay. You're a spot where that's okay. You're not supposed to know, really, right? You don't have to know. You don't have to have it all lined up. You don't have to figure it out. But what you do need to do is trust God in every circumstance. Trust him that he's leading you to the right place. Trust him that he's going to take you on a journey. And wherever you go, you can be strong, you can be courageous, and he will be right there alongside you. He'll be right there alongside you. You know, Joshua's staring down an army. Huge. Hugely bigger, like the Israelite army, just a fraction of those that they were staring down. And the Lord said to Joshua, have I not commanded you be strong and courageous? There are students in the room that have stared down huge problems, huge life struggles, huge things, from parents to siblings to cancer diagnosis to foster care and frustration and adoption and all of the things. You have stared down some huge things. Be strong and courageous because the next huge thing is coming. And when you lean into God and you trust him in that circumstance, when you surrender it to him, when you believe that his plan is bigger, is greater, and is good for your life, that's when he shows up. That's when he does amazing miracles in your life. That's when you can become a testimony, a living, walking, breathing testimony. You know, we had testimonies a few weeks back at youth, students just coming up and sharing. And I think that my favorite one was the one that happened in the moment. And it was so simple and easy. Carson Kluffman standing right here, or right there, right? And I was like, bro, how you feeling? How are you feeling? Not good, right? You tore, you know, you pulled your groin, and you tore your hip flexor, or you dislocated, just overextended. Did something, right? Couldn't walk straight. Dude was like hobbling like this the whole night. He's just like an old man trying to play basketball with the guys. It was good, it was good. He comes over here, and Jessica had felt that God had a specific testimony that was supposed to come forth through Carson. Didn't know what it was, just knew that God wanted him to speak. And he spoke into that, and it was good. But my favorite part was how God showed up in the most mundane, simple little way. When I said, Carson, dude, you're not supposed to be limping. Let's pray for that right now. And we prayed over his groin. And the next day, you were running up the stairs at school. No pain. How about our God that cares about the little things? How about our God that says, no matter what you're facing, be strong and courageous because I want to show up through you. That's the reality. That's the beauty of being a student. That's the beauty of being a 6th through 12th grader with no strings attached. You can live your life so unashamedly for Jesus right now that you'll never be able to do again. There's like no walls in front of you. You can preach the gospel at your school. You can share Jesus with people on the street. You have so many more friends than I have because you actually go to school every day. I have two friends. They're sitting back there. It's Jono and Kylie. No, I have other friends. But you come in contact with new people all the time. Students are my friends too, Maya. Don't worry. But I'm saying, like, you have access to share the gospel and allow God to show up in the mundane. When was the last time that you stopped a kid in the hallway and said, God has good plans for your life. Can I pray for healing in your life? Can I pray for healing over that torn muscle? I would love to see Elk River Sports have no injuries because when they happen, we just pray over the kid and he's not injured anymore. How cool would that be? Elk River, Big Lake, wherever you're at. Anoka, Andover, Blaine, I don't care. Oh, I kind of do. Go Elks, but... No, Thunder? What? He wants to show up in the little things. He has good plans for the little things. That testimony made me excited because it was so simple. I didn't have this big call on my life. I wasn't like, God, you're really moving on my heart. You want to heal a student tonight? Nothing like that. I just noticed someone was limping and I said, nah. Like, that's not what God has. He wants to use that testimony for good right now. That's what he wants to do through you. That's what he's going to do through you, right? Romans 8, 26 to 28 says, meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs and our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. I'll stop there just for a second. Don't get lost on the pregnant condition part, right? God is always trying to birth a new work through you, and that's the idea, right? He wants to birth a new work through you. He knows that you are feeling the pains of wanting to do something new, that you're feeling the pains of wanting to chase after a new thing, and he understands that and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked out into something good. That's God's plan. You can't control your circumstances. You can't control the things going on around you, but you can control how you respond to them. And that is God's plan for you, that you would respond in grace and in humility and with a willingness to allow him to work and move through you. I want to invite you today. As the worship team comes back up, they're going to play us into our altar moment here. I want to invite you today. You have the opportunity in this moment right now. We came to conference to meet Jesus. We're going to have a ton of fun. There's food, all the things, friends, right? But we came to conference to meet Jesus. And I want this first session to be a marking moment for you to rededicate what it means to be chasing after God's plan for your life. We can't pursue purpose for our lives or a future for our lives until we surrender to the plan that he has for our lives, the call that he has on our lives. For some of you, this might be just a chance to know Jesus for the first time. Maybe you just need to get to know Jesus for the first time in worship. Maybe you need to learn what it means to be on your knees at the altar. For others, you like don't know why you're here right now. Kind of annoyed with Cole. He just keeps talking. It's not funny. But right, you don't know why you're here. Like, why am I in this space? I just wanted to come for the basketball tournament. And then they started preaching at me. I just like the hype worship songs, not the slow ones. I like to dance and jump with my friends. God wants to meet you. He wants to be present with you. He has a plan and a purpose and a future for your life, but you have to surrender for them in that order. You have to be willing to trust the plan that He has for you. And as you trust that plan, He's going to start to give you purpose. And purpose looks like, why do I wake up in the morning? To worship and honor Jesus, to bring His name forth to the nations, but to start at my school, to start in my family, to start by making my bed with a good attitude. And future looks like trusting Him no matter what happens. Future looks like listening to what He has, how He wants to move. I step into spaces like this, and the first thing that I say to Holy Spirit is, what do you want to do in this room? I have an agenda. I'm going to be honest. I have an agenda. I do. We have a schedule, an agenda, songs planned, the whole thing, right? But we ask Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? What if you woke up tomorrow morning and you said, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? What does today look like? How do you want to show up through my workout? How do you want to show up through my schoolwork? How are you going to show up through me serving my family? Present with you and pray for you. And so what I would love to have happen right now is, if you're a leader in the room, would you just come up and line the altar? Y'all can come too if you want. Just come up and line the altar. If you're a student in the room, pick a face. Each of these individuals want to pray for you. So we'll just spread it out a little bit, yeah? Each of these individuals, they want to pray for you. They want to be present for you. They want to love on you. Whatever is going on. Anyone in the room have like a physical pain that they want to see healing in? You do? Anybody else? You do? Okay, just stand up if you do. It's way easier. All right, cool. Y'all want to come up to the front really quick? Like right here? Come right here to the middle. Oh, there's a lot. All right, you're sticking out to me. What do you need healing for? Say it again.
I tore my meniscus.
You tore your meniscus? So it hurts to do what? Can't jump off one foot. Kind of sore, like walking and whatnot. Which one? All right. Let's just pray for that. Come here. Father God, what's your name?
KJ.
Got you. Father God, we just pray for KJ right now. God, we pray for his meniscus in his left knee. We believe for healing right now that's going to allow him to have full mobility. God, I pray for his soul right now that he would become surrendered to you and just align with the plan that you have for his life. Trust that you're going to work and move in him, and that you're healing him right now in Jesus' name. Amen. How's it feel? No, how's it feel actually? Can you jump on one leg? Well, let's see it. Well, that was two legs. Jump on one leg. Just give me a little run. I want to see it. Come on. No pain. Wow. No pain. Let's go, bro. Glad you're here. That's good. That's good. All right. Nothing that I'm doing, right? Like I'm not like special. I just prayed for you. It's no big deal. Anybody can do that. What do you need healing for? Your hip? Wait, didn't you just have surgery? Yeah, we're going to pray that that gets healed so you don't have to have surgery. That'd be really good. So do you have pain like walking or moving? All right, KJ, it's all you, bro. Come here. I want you to pray for... name again. Blake, yeah. Pray for Blake.
So, I hope your hip gets better. You have to have surgery. Now, I'm sure you're going to have to anyways, but I hope the surgery makes it better. You wish you were speaking recovery. Probably with you.
Yeah, God, we just command that hip to go back into place in every perfect way, that there be no more pain, no more surgeries. In Jesus' name. How are you feeling? Can you tell? Well, how does it feel right now, though? So we're going to pray one more time. No more stiff and sore in Jesus' name. We can pray that all of that inflammation just be gone, that he would have full mobility, that he'd be able to play some ball today, and that he would feel freedom in Jesus' name from the pain that he's experiencing. How's that? Like better all the way? Actually? You're messing with me, bro. Is it actually? 100%? How are we going to test it out? You going to go dunk too? You can't run because of the pain. Yeah. All right. We're going to keep praying for you. Okay, so I want each of you other students that are still here to find another leader to pray for you. We're going to go into this song. But I just want to reinforce this idea that, like, it doesn't matter who's praying for you. It doesn't matter, like, if it's a student, if it's a leader, if it's over the microphone or not, right? It's because the living God wants to have a relationship with you specifically. It has nothing to do with me. I have no authority outside of what Jesus has given me to release healing in his name. So y'all can go find a leader too if you want, but go find one of these friends right here, and then I'm going to talk to the rest of the students. So the rest of you students have this opportunity that's still in front of you, right? We're going to come up to the altar. If you want prayer for something emotionally, physically going on in your life, you want prayer for it, I want you to find a leader. I want you to step into relationship with them. Share with them what's going on in your life. Share with them what's challenging you. Share with them what's scaring you. Surrender to God's plan for you. If you don't know Jesus and you're like, this is a little scary, I don't really know what just happened, then I would really love to have a conversation with you. I would really love for you to seek out myself or my wife Jessica in the nice blue jacket I borrowed her. Okay? Because I think that God wants to meet you right now this morning so that we can go through the rest of today and just go deep. We'll just go deep and far with Holy Spirit, right? I'm going to pray over the room and then we'll release it to the worship team. Father God, I thank you so much for what you're doing already in this space, for the healing that you're bringing to physical bodies, the healing that you're bringing to our spiritual bodies, and the ways that you are moving and working in this space. We believe, Father, that you want to do something so amazing. You want to blow our minds. So we surrender to you, God. We surrender to you. Whatever that looks like across this space, we surrender our hearts and our lives to you. In Jesus' name.